So we are continuing Chapter 11 of Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. And if you remember, they're about to have their trials for the Gryffindor Quidditch team. As Harry had expected, the trials took most of the morning. Half of Gryffindor House seemed to have turned up, from first-years who were nervously clutching a selection of dreadful old school brooms, to seventh-years who towered over the rest, looking coolly intimidating. The latter included a large, wiry-haired boy Harry recognized immediately from the Hogwarts Express. "We met on the train in old Sluggy's compartment," he said confidently, stepping out of the crowd to shake Harry's hand. "Cormac McLaggen, keeper." "You didn't try out last year, did you?" asked Harry, taking note of the breadth of McLaggen and thinking he would probably block all three goals without even moving. "I was in the hospital wing when they held the trials," said McLaggen, with something of a swagger. "Ate a pound of doxy eggs for a bet." "Right," said Harry. "Well, if you wait over there." He pointed over to the edge of the pitch, close to where Hermione was sitting. He thought he saw a flicker of annoyance pass over McLaggen's face and wondered whether McLaggen expected preferential treatment because they were both old Sluggy's favorites. Harry decided to start with a basic test, asking all applicants for the team to divide into groups of 10 and fly once around the pitch. This was a good decision. The first 10 was made up of first years, and it could not have been plainer that they had hardly ever flown before. Only one boy managed to remain airborne for more than a few seconds, and he was so surprised he promptly crashed into one of the goals. The second group was comprised of 10 of the silliest girls Harry had ever encountered, who, when he blew his whistle, merely fell about giggling and clutching one another. Romilda Vane was among them. When he told them to leave the pitch, they did so quietly, quite cheerfully, and went to the stands to heckle everyone else. The third group had a pileup halfway around the pitch. Most of the fourth group had come without broomsticks. The fifth group were Hufflepuffs. "If there's anyone else here who's not from Gryffindor," roared Harry, who was starting to get seriously annoyed, "leave now, please." There was a pause, then a couple of little Ravenclaws went sprinting off the pitch, snorting with laughter. After 2 hours, many complaints and several tantrums, one involving crashed Comet 260 and several broken teeth, Harry found himself three chasers. Katie Bell returned to the team after an excellent trial. A new find called Demelza Robbins, who's particularly good at dodging bludgers, and Ginny Weasley, who had outflown all the competition and scored 17 goals to boot. Pleased though he was with his choices, Harry had also shouted himself hoarse at the many complainers that was now enduring a similar battle with the rejected beaters. "It's my final decision, and if you don't get out of the way for keepers, I'll hex you," he bellowed. Neither of his chosen beaters had the old brilliance of Fred and George, but he was still reasonably pleased with them. Jimmy Peaks, a short but broad-chested third-year boy, who had managed to raise a lump the size of an egg on the back of Harry's head with a ferociously hit bludger, and Richie Coote, who looked weedy but aimed well. They now joined the spectators in the stands to watch the selection of their last team member. Harry had deliberately left the trial of the keepers until last, hoping for an emptier stadium and less pressure on all concerned. Unfortunately, however, all the rejected players and a number of people had come down to watch after a lengthy breakfast had joined the crowd by now, so that it was larger than ever. As each keeper flew up to the goal hoops, the crowd roared and jeered in equal measure. Harry glanced over at Ron, who had always had a problem with nerves. Harry had hoped that winning their final match last term might have cured it, but apparently not. Ron was a delicate shade of green. None of the first five applicants saved more than 2 goals apiece. To Harry's great disappointment, Cormac McLaggen saved 4 penalties out of 5. On the last one, however, he shot off in completely the wrong direction. The crowd laughed and booed, and McLaggen returned to the ground, gritting his teeth. Ron looked ready to pass out as he mounted his clean sweep 11. "Good luck," cried a voice from the stands. Harry looked around, expecting to see Hermione, but it was Lavender Brown. He would have quite liked to have hidden his face in his hands, as she did a moment later, but thought that as the captain he ought to show slightly more grit, and so turned to watch Ron do his trial. Yet he need not have worried. Ron saved 5 penalties in a row. Delighted and resisting joining in the cheers of the crowd with difficulty, Harry turned to McLaggen to tell him that, most unfortunately, Ron had beaten him, only to find McLaggen's red face inches from his own. He stepped back hastily. "His sister didn't really try," said McLaggen menacingly. There was a vein pulsing in his temple like the one Harry had often admired in Uncle Vernon's. She gave him an easy save. Rubbish, said Harry coldly. That was the one he nearly missed. McLaughlin took a step nearer Harry, who stood his ground this time. Give me another go. No, said Harry. You've had your go. You saved 4, Ron saved 5. Ron's keeper, he won it fair and square. Get out of my way. He thought for a moment that McLaughlin might punch him, but he contented himself with an ugly grimace and stormed away, growling what sounded like threats to thin air. And by the way, that's a terrible way to choose your keeper, based on a single trial of 5 shots. Like, 4 and 5 are very similar. Give them each another round. Give them each 2 more rounds. See who seems better. But anyways, that's how I would do it if I were trying to come up with the best team. But Harry is just trying to pick his friend. Harry turned around to find his new team beaming at him. Well done, he croaked. You flew really well. You did brilliantly, Ron. This time it really was Hermione running toward them from the stands. Harry saw Lavender walking off the pitch, arm in arm with Parvati, a rather grumpy expression on her face. Ron looked extremely pleased with himself and even taller than usual as he grinned at the team and at Hermione. After fixing the time of their first full practice for the following Thursday, Harry, Ron, and Hermione bade goodbye to the rest of the team and headed off toward Hagrid's. A watery sun was trying to break through the clouds now, and it had stopped drizzling, at least. Harry felt extremely hungry. He hoped there would be something to eat at Hagrid's. I thought I was going to miss that 4th penalty, Ron was saying happily. Trick shot from Demelza's. Did you see? Had a bit of spin on it. Yes, yes, you were magnificent, said Hermione, looking amused. I was better than that McLaggen anyway, said Ron in a highly satisfied voice. Did you see him lumbering off the wrong direction in his 5th? Looked like he'd been confounded. To Harry's surprise, Hermione turned a very deep shade of pink at these words. Ron noticed nothing. He was too busy describing each of his other penalties in loving detail. And I think we'll stop there. I hope you like that, my baby kitchen. Now it's bedtime. Sweet dreams, beautiful girl. I love you so much. Good night.